Now, Wisconsin kicked off a new year in politics yesterday with the re-inauguration of Governor Evers and a swearing-in for the Republican-led legislature. And it's a big year with budget negotiations on the horizon and a pool of extra cash to work with. In his inaugural speech, Evers called for many of his campaign priorities, including expanding Medicaid and repealing the state's abortion ban.
People voted because they believe, as I do, that we should expand Badger Care and work to ensure everyone has access to quality, affordable health care because it's 2023 and they believe we shouldn't be beholden to a law from the 1800s passed well before women had the right to vote.
In response, Republican State Assembly Leader Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu expressed disappointment with what they called partisan messaging in Evers' speech. Both sides of the political aisle in Wisconsin have at least expressed a willingness to work together more during this next budget cycle. That hasn't happened a lot in the last few years of divided government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see in state politics in 2023? What priorities would you like to see in the upcoming budget negotiations? Are you optimistic, hopeful that Democrats and Republicans could work together this time around? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Anthony Chergosky is an assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse. He teaches about government, politics, and media. Anthony, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Well, set the stage for us for 2023. What are you looking at as the biggest stories in state politics this year?
A few things, Rob. First of all, the showdown surrounding abortion, the 174-year-old abortion ban, it really restricts abortion in nearly all cases. That was a major theme of Governor Evers' speech yesterday. He talked about his desire for people to have the right to choose. He also interestingly connected the issue of abortion to the state's economic development strategy. He said that a very restrictive abortion law could potentially discourage businesses and residents from relocating into Wisconsin. We know that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the top Republican in the state assembly, has expressed some frustration recently with the state's economic development strategy. So it was an interesting response by Governor Evers to turn things around on Speaker Voss and say, well, it's actually the abortion ban and other issues that he thinks are out of step with public opinion that could be hampering the state's economic development, that could be hampering the state's ability to draw in new businesses and new residents. In addition, Rob, you mentioned the fact that the Wisconsin state government is flush with cash, projected to be now a nearly $7 billion budget surplus. That is going to be the major theme of these budget negotiations. What to do with the budget surplus? The Republicans want to go big on tax cuts. Meanwhile, Tony Evers is calling for increased funding for local governments, and he's calling for increased funding for public education. And finally, Rob, what also looms large is that upcoming state Supreme Court election. It could potentially shift the balance of power on the state Supreme Court from a conservative majority, currently a 4-3 conservative majority, to potentially a 4-3 liberal majority. So it is a high stakes state Supreme Court election coming up on April 4th. A lot to watch as we see how things unfold between Governor Evers and the Republican-controlled state legislature on one side of the split screen. And then on the other side of the split screen, we've got yet another campaign, yet another high stakes campaign going on here in the state of Wisconsin.
So for those non-election issues, including abortion and the state budget, a lot is contingent on a Democratic governor, Republican lawmakers working together. Governor Evers has said, hey, maybe we can do that. Assembly Leader Robin Voss has said, maybe we can do that. Here's Evers in the inaugural speech talking about trying to put aside personal interests.
Wisconsinites reaffirm that our duty and allegiance, first and foremost, is not to our own interests, but to each other. Resolve to the common good that binds us, vehement about the values that unite us, and steadfast to the ideals that transcend us.
Okay, sounds peachy, Anthony, but we know that there have been long periods of time where Governor Evers and Republican leaders in the legislature didn't talk to each other, much less compromise or agree with each other. Do you have any sense that things might change this year?
the tone is one of optimism, Rob. A tone of optimism that perhaps these next 4 years could be a bit different than the last 4 years. The last 4 years were characterized by bitter partisan struggles between the Democratic Governor Evers and the Republican-controlled state legislature. So you do have Republican leaders in the legislature and Governor Evers portraying a bit of a different tone this time. And so that could be a sign that perhaps a bit more cooperation is on the horizon. On the other hand, we do know that hardball politics is the norm in Wisconsin. We look at the state legislature, and Republicans have rock-solid majorities in the state legislature, overwhelming majorities in both the state assembly and the state senate. So Republicans have very secure majorities and are really at no risk of losing their majorities as long as the Democrats are really uncompetitive in rural areas and as long as these current legislative maps remain in place that strongly favor the Republican Party. So Republicans can certainly play hardball in the sense that they really have no risk of losing their majorities. On the other hand, Rob, Tony Evers won re-election in 2022 by a larger margin than he won election in 2018. So you could have an emboldened Governor Evers. So there is the potential for both sides to be emboldened to play hardball. On the other hand, we have seen a bit of a different tone from Governor Evers and the key leaders in the state legislature, State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu.
Talking to Anthony Chergosky from UW La Crosse, looking at the year in state politics, the re-inauguration of Governor Evers yesterday, Republican-led state legislature re-sworn in. You could join in at 800-642-1234. It's a big budget year. What do you want to see the state spending money on? What priorities do you want to see? Are there changes to taxes that you'd like to see? Education funding, local government funding? You fill in the blank, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Anthony, we've got a budget. It's a big deal. We've got a big budget surplus going into this one. Does that offer some room for some horse trading where everybody gets a little bit of what they want?
Absolutely, Rob. We know that the Republicans want a major tax cut. They have talked about going to a flat tax for the state income tax, where everyone would pay the same tax rate, regardless of their income. We do know that that is a non-starter with Governor Evers, but perhaps it is the opening bid, so to speak, by Republicans, and they're willing to move. We do know that last time around, the Republicans enacted a $3 billion plus dollar tax cut. That was in the last budget cycle, and they want something similar this time around. On the other hand, we know that Governor Evers wants at least $2 billion in additional funding for public schools. He wants more money for local governments. The good news, Rob, is that there might be enough money to go around. The state is in an extraordinarily strong fiscal position, the strongest that we've had in recent memory, a $7 billion surplus just around that dollar amount. So we might have the chance for each side to have their cake and eat it too. It's certainly going to be difficult because both sides see opportunity in this budget surplus, a real once in a generation type situation. But it's a heck of a lot easier to negotiate in a positive budgetary climate than a negative, a problematic, a difficult budgetary climate. So I think there's room for negotiation here.
So we're going to call her at 800-642-1234. Mac is with us in Milwaukee. Mac, what are you looking for?
I would love to see, and it's not going to happen with the unrepresentative Republican houses of Congress, but I would love to see if the state changed the way that transportation funding works. I know calling from Milwaukee, a lot of the roads here are owned by the state. And so local communities don't have power over what those roads look like. And then Milwaukee ends up giving a lot of our money to the state, and then we don't get it back, and they write rules about us not being able to spend it on buses or trains, and we aren't even allowed to start like a municipal transportation authority in order to fund things like buses or trains. So it's really frustrating.
Mac, thanks a lot for the call. Anthony Mack pointing toward a long-running and fiendishly complicated part of our state budget, how we fund roads, who is in charge of which roads, things like that. Any thought that people might try to tackle that?
You know, Rob, one possibility is to use the budget surplus on one-time expenses. And so roads, expanded funding for transportation could be part of that. A big question with the budget surplus is how much do you bake in some permanent spending changes or tax changes into the budget? And how much do you use on one-time expenses, like increased funding for one-time transportation projects? Mac's comment also makes me think of local government funding. Mm-hmm. Both sides agree that the system of funding local governments is broken, and that shared revenue from the states flowing into the local governments, that is simply not a workable system at this point, that the system needs reform. We've got quite a contrast, Rob, where the state is flush with cash. Meanwhile, local governments are continuously going to the voters on referendum to seek funding for just fulfilling the basic services of local government. So you've got a state that is flush with cash. Meanwhile, you've got local governments in Wisconsin that are struggling to fulfill the basic services that they have to fulfill. So it is quite a contrast when you look at the budget position of the state versus local governments. I do think that's one other situation where there's room for a deal. Both sides agree that there is a problem. They obviously disagree on the potential solutions. But hey, the first step is for both sides across the aisle to agree that there is a real problem here. And I do think both sides recognize that we've got a real problem in Wisconsin when it comes to funding for local governments.
Thanks for that call, Mac. We're talking to UW La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky about the year ahead in Wisconsin politics, including upcoming budget negotiations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see Wisconsin do with its budget surplus this time around? Do you think Governor Evers or Republican lawmakers will be able to enact their priorities? What do you want to see happen on big issues, including the budget, abortion? Are you watching this state Supreme Court election coming up? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Anthony Chergosky, political science professor at UW La Crosse, with us today looking at what's in store for Wisconsin politics this year with divided government and the two-year budget on the table. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the agenda for Wisconsin state government this year? What issues do you want to see addressed? What priorities do you want to see in the budget? Do you work in local or county government? What do you want to see the state do for you? Do you want to get a taste of that surplus? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We heard from Joel on Facebook saying neither protecting abortion rights or expanding Medicare, as Governor Evers called for, are going to happen. Why not focus on things which have bipartisan support? Let's get to that abortion debate here. The status quo right now, that 1849 law with a couple of revisions soon after in effect in Wisconsin, one of the more restrictive abortion laws in the state, that if Governor Evers wants change and Republicans in the legislature don't, then we stay there, right?
Absolutely, Rob. There is a standoff right now over this issue. Now, there are different strategies on both sides. On the side of the Republicans in the legislature, they are thinking about adding exceptions for rape and incest into the current law, the law that was passed in 1849, that is really one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the nation. So Republicans realized that they did have a problem in the midterm elections when it came to this highly restrictive abortion law. When you look at the Marquette polling numbers, Rob, it is clear that the 1849 law on abortion is just radically out of step with public opinion in Wisconsin. And so I think Republicans understand that. They understand that this is a political liability for them, and they maybe want to move things more in the direction of public opinion. At the same time, Governor Evers just wants to go back to the situation that was the case under Roe versus Wade. And so there is a big gap between the two sides, even though they both want to make a change to the law. Governor Evers' strategy is to fight this out through the courts. He thinks that that is the best way to achieve a return to the situation under Roe versus Wade. Meanwhile, Republicans, most notably Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, seem to be concerned about the prospect of the upcoming state Supreme Court election being dominated by the issue of abortion. That is a very real possibility. And we know that the current 1849 law, as I mentioned, is deeply unpopular in Wisconsin. So both sides want to make some revisions to the law. Governor Evers wants to make substantial revisions, essentially going back to the situation that we had prior to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Meanwhile, Republicans want to add some additional situations in which abortion would be permitted. But ultimately, I don't see a prospect for a compromise here because the two sides are simply too far apart.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234 with Perry in Oconto. Perry, hi.
Hi. Happy New Year. My question for the guest from La Crosse is there any way that voters can demand fairer election maps? Are we stuck with these maps for the next 10 years? It doesn't seem like the Republicans want to bring any compromise to the floor for a vote. It's almost like the Packers get 7 points for every score and the opposing team, no matter what they do, only gets 3 points.
Perry, thanks a lot for the call. There's no direct method for voters. We don't have that sort of referendum process that other states do, Anthony. I think some eyes are on the state Supreme Court election saying, hey, if a challenge to our current maps finds its way to the state Supreme Court after the majority switches to liberal-backed justices, I don't know. Is that something that could change then?
Oh, that is absolutely correct. And that is why Democrats have so much focus on this upcoming state Supreme Court election. Rob, as we mentioned, as long as these maps remain in place, it is almost unthinkable that the Republicans could lose their majority control. Now, Republicans will argue that it's really a matter of the Democratic Party's collapse of support in rural areas, that that's the reason the Republicans enjoy such overwhelming majorities. There is a bit of truth to that. The Democrats have seen their support collapse in rural areas, and that really hampers their ability to be competitive in the battle for seats in the state legislature. But at the same time, there is just absolutely no question that these district maps radically favor the Republican Party and that there is simply no imaginable way for the Republicans to lose their majorities unless something drastic changes. Now, the drastic thing that could change is a state Supreme Court ruling that forces a redraw of the maps. And that, again, is why Democrats are so focused on this upcoming state Supreme Court election that could flip the majority from a 4-3 conservative majority to a 4-3 liberal majority. That really opens the way for not just a ruling on the 1849 abortion law, but a ruling on the gerrymandered district map. So much attention is going to the state Supreme Court election. So much rides on this. And that is why we've got just a very busy upcoming few months in Wisconsin politics. The budget process will play itself out. And then we've got this extremely high stakes state Supreme Court election going on right along with it.
Thanks for the call, Perry. We're talking to Anthony Trigosky from UW La Crosse, looking at the year ahead in Wisconsin politics. Back to your calls now. We've got Nate on the line in Milwaukee. Nate, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me. I was thinking that we might actually get some of Governor Evers' appointments finally dealt with. I hope with the budget, we might actually get some of the federal money coming our way that we could have a while ago. I know back in the day under Walker, Republicans were actually willing to spend millions in state money to turn down federal money, like with the trains. Now we might have to spend a little bit, but we'll also get a bunch with the Medicaid money, if I believe that works out. Also, since the legislative elections are kind of rigged, I feel obligated to vote in the elections where I can vote and matter, and that does mean the state Supreme Court race you just mentioned. Ironically enough, if Hagedorn hadn't ruled the way he did last time, I wouldn't feel so motivated to for this year because it would be less of an issue. And now it's more of one.
Nate, thanks for the call, referring to Brian Hagedorn, state Supreme Court justice, ultimately voting for the current district maps, I believe. Anthony, Nate mentioned right off the top something we haven't gotten into yet, all the Governor Evers appointees who are as yet unconfirmed by the state Senate. We're seeing some of the holdovers, Walker appointees, saying, okay, we're done now.
Absolutely, Rob. That was one of the major storylines of Governor Evers' first term, and it was really indicative of the continuation of hardball politics in the state of Wisconsin. The state Senate simply did not hold hearings on a number of Governor Evers' key appointees. Now, we have seen a number of them step down in the aftermath of Governor Evers getting reelected. So we'll have to see what the posture of the state Senate is towards Governor Evers' appointees, and if they are a bit more willing to hold hearings and to hold confirmation votes on Governor Evers' appointees. But that really did stand out to me, Rob, as just a sign of how previously routine things in Wisconsin politics were no longer routine. It used to be just a matter of routine that the governor's appointees would get hearings and would get confirmation votes. What we've seen in Wisconsin politics is that previously routine things are no longer routine. Previously routine things can no longer be counted on to actually happen. And certainly the hearings and votes for the confirmation of the governor's appointees is one of those things. So it's something I'm watching very closely in the state Senate to see if they move a little bit on the appointees of the governor.
Anthony, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Anthony Trigoski, assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Anthony teaches about government, politics, and media there. He's with us today for a preview of the upcoming year in Wisconsin politics and state budget negotiations. Lots of news to come. Follow it at WPR.org and on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and you can weigh in there on the things you would like to see in this year's two-year state budget. Again, find that news on the Ideas Network Facebook page or at WPR.org.